Right on time. Not late at all. What are you guys talking about? Nailed it. I think the ISO or something's off on this camera. It seems a little, image seems a little flat. Good morning, everybody. How is everybody today? Doing well, I hope. I had a little bit of extra time. I don't have the firefighters this morning, so I figured we would go ahead and start a little bit early. Almost a regular 7 a.m. time, but just pushed back a little bit. Just so I could have a little time before we get going. Matt Burns, Sousa big dicking us? Not at all. Not at all. Christine Young, good morning. Mrs. Burns, good morning all. Good morning, Mrs. Burns. How are you? There's a couple other people up here too that good morning, Ernie. What's up, man? Dan, Sousa forgot Grace's coffee again. Nope. Only made that mistake one time. Jake Felton, let Sousa poop in peace. He's hurrying. Thank you, Jake. Someone that understands. Somebody that gets it. David Weed. You might be disappointed. Sevon's not here this morning, so you can't harass him. Hopefully that doesn't mean you just transitioned to harassing me, but we'll find out how it goes. Vindicate, good morning. Get your guys' shoes. Get your guys' apparel and shirts over at Vindicate. Like this cool CEO one that I have. You guys this weekend were freaking awesome. Holy crap. The donations and the stuff that you guys did for the competitors, especially for Fee and Lindsay Lang, is just insane. I could not get over how awesome this group is and how generous you guys are. And it's like, holy crap, we're doing it. Look at us. Collectively, we're doing it. Will, good morning, dude. How you doing? Did you miss me on Saturday? I bet you did. Mr. Watkins, since we're talking about big soda, are we going to talk about the biggest soda? Spade. Drink Spade. Yeah. It's we're going to talk about soda that doesn't corrupt exercise science, which is Spade, unlike Coca-Cola and Pepsi and the other American beverage associations. We're going to get into that. That's the article on Broken Science brought to you by Russell Berger, who will be on the show on Friday. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Last week, I posted up this pyramid, kind of taking the theoretical hierarchy for training. You guys know it from the CrossFit methodology, the nutrition, metabolic conditioning, gymnastics, weightlifting, sport. Except for I rearranged it in terms of what I would do or what I think CrossFit should do for its priorities and the way that it's conducting itself. So we're going to get into that. I have the live call-in number. So what we're going to do is once I present that, there is a lot of people that DM'd me and had some, you know, questions or opinions about it. There were some people in the comments as well. And so I thought that once we brought that up, I would be super curious to get your guys' opinions on that pyramid. Asymmetric Heroes, is Russell a Rumble-only show? I want to say no, but possibly, because we did talk about putting it just on X or just on Rumble, because I think they'll be calling some more stores and asking about their inclusion policies, which I don't know if that's really going to fly that much on YouTube. So we'll have to see. Hey, producer, when is In the Week in Review? Well, last night we had the update show. Taylor made it to semifinals. Isn't that crazy? Oh, man. That was such a good show and such a great weekend. So we'll probably end up doing the Dave Week in Review maybe this evening or something like that. But we will do it. Don't you worry, Greg. Don't you worry. All right, so let's get into some of these clips I have here. As always, I've scoured the internet for the best stuff possible to bring you guys. I thought this was my 10th episode, and I was like, oh, cool, this is number 10. And I found out that's only like number 9. So I missed it last week. I was traveling out to South Carolina to the great CrossFit crash and didn't have time to get in a show. So I want to start out with this here, the unfortunate. If you guys get around people that are constantly playing the victim game. Oh, I just can't catch a break. Oh, I'll never be able to do that. These type of people are the ones you want to immediately avoid. So the advice I got for today comes from Robert Greene. As always, if you watch my shows, you know I'm a huge fan of his books and the wisdom. And this one here is people often draw misfortunes on themselves. They will also draw it on you. Associate with the happy and the fortunate instead. If you guys got a bunch of people in your friend group there, or you happen to be one of them that just has this freaking negative outlook on life, you better turn that frown upside down. Because people do not want to associate with people. You know those type of people that just, no matter what you talk to them, hi, how you doing? Oh, okay, I'm all right. And they just kind of slump around. It's like, no, come on. You're living and you're breathing. Life is good. Life is good. So if you're one of those people, or if you associate, it's time to slowly distance yourself. Judy Reed, I attract those people, and I'm the complete opposite of that. Let me guess, Judy, it's because you try to save them. They probably come to you with this negative outlook, and you probably try to reverse it by spreading your positivity. Am I right? And you should just not waste your time with that. Just once they show their true colors, just slide away. You know that Homer Simpson meme where he just like slides into the hedge? Like that's exactly what you need to do there. 100%. See, I called it, right? And that's why those people are attracted to you, or that's why you think you attract those people. It's because you want to be a people pleaser. I'm very similar in this regard. And sometimes it's just best to just let them be. Don't try to swim upstream. And if they're going to be negative Nelly, let them be negative Nelly. It is what it is. Because everybody gets to choose their attitudes. And some people do it terribly. A little bit from our fearless leader out here in California. I saw this. I thought it was great in terms of our lovely government here. Is that how you found Sevan? No, he's not a negative guy. He's not a negative guy. Definitely not. Unfortunate. Okay, Newsom has been solving homelessness for 16 years. 16 years, guys. We still haven't quite figured it out. This is him in 2008. This is what he calls his 10-year plan. I don't know if some of you guys seen in the news recently, but there was $24 billion that went to solving homelessness, which isn't even a fucking homeless problem. We all know. Oh, man, I already swore 7 minutes and 30 seconds in. We all know that it's a drug problem. When you go over to San Francisco, Oakland, and you start walking through and you start looking at the people, you don't just think, oh, man, there's a guy down on his luck really pushing hard here to make something of himself. No, you see him like halfway bent over, high on fentanyl, shooting up in front of kids and other people walking down the street. It's like, let's start by labeling shit correctly. Anyhow, this is the biggest issue. One of the biggest issues I have with government is the fact that there is zero accountability. Can you imagine if I ran a company and I was like, hey, we're going to do XYZ. And then I just need $100,000. So then you give me the $100,000. A year goes by and we still haven't accomplished XYZ. So then I go, hey, we just need $200,000. Then we could accomplish it. It was a little bit bigger than we thought, but if we just have a little bit more money, then another year goes by and the problem has gotten worse. The business is failing. And then I say, hey, I just need $300,000 this time and we will fix the problem, I swear. And the problem continues to get worse. At some point, you have to pull the funding, right? At some point. Carlos, bro, none of that money went to the homeless. It all went to them. Bingo. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. But, let's listen to Gavin, because I know whenever I'm feeling down on my luck, I listen to the fearless leader, Gavin Newsom, here, and it just, oh, man, sunshine and rainbows after that.
10-year plan to end chronic homelessness in San Francisco.
How are you going to solve homelessness? What are you going to do as a new mayor? And I say, well, what are you going
to
do?
Focus on a housing first model, direct access to housing.
Shelter, solve sleep, housing with wraparound and support services. Solve homelessness.
Homelessness absolutely can be solved.
Laid out a detailed homeless strategy. There's been no intentionality on homelessness in this state for decades. It's not been a focus.
I don't think we can solve homelessness. I know we can solve homelessness.
We will reduce street homelessness quickly and humanely through emergency action.
The highest investment the state's ever made is $1 billion on homelessness. We are poised to pass a budget in the next few hours that will provide $12 billion of investment.
Look at, and this dude behind him is clapping and everybody else claps. Oh yeah, $1 billion didn't work, but you know what, $12 billion of our money, that'll definitely change the tune. Holy shit.
I can literally quantify 58,000 people that we got off the streets last year. and none of you would believe it.
This state has not made progress in the last two decades as it relates to homelessness.
Why? We're not interested in funding failure. We're not interested in failing more efficiently when it comes to the issue of homelessness.
And look at the two ladies behind him just... Like, this lady looks like she's like halfway like taking a shit right now or just trying to hold it in. Like, does anybody even believe, like, when this dude walks off stage, like, is all his cohorts around him just like, wow, Gavin, you crushed it again. Let's head over to French Laundry.
And the crisis on the street.
What we call a 10-year
crazy
plan.
That's his whole chronic homelessness since 2008. And it's only consistently gotten worse and worse and worse. I don't know if any of you guys have ever visited Oakland or San Francisco in the recent, but shit is crazy. Like, you wouldn't even believe it. You wouldn't even believe it. Steven, Souza, tell your homeless to stop coming to Fresno. We can't take them all in. They are congregated near our downtown and train station. Oh, don't you worry, Steven. We're going to send 50,000 more, but that's okay because Gavin Newsom is going to spend another $12 billion of our dollars to fix the problem. Yeah, exactly, Augustus. You caught that, right? In one clip, he's talking about, we helped 58,000 people, and you wouldn't believe it. Then the following year, he talks about how there's been no progress made. Crazy. Graciano, what's up, brother? Los Banos hired a full-time homeless coordinator. Oh, a homeless coordinator. Oh, that'll help. And the homeless count more than doubled in the last 2 years. Now they think spending even more will solve the problem. It's always going to be some sort of like, if we just spent more of your money, if we just spend more of your dollars, we can solve the problem. Tug Speedman, what's up, Souza? What's up, Tug? How you doing, brother? Dominique, black teens stealing and killing people while homeless are shooting needles all day. Oakland is terrible. Well. Bernie Gannon, Newsom is very popular with the suburb moms. Crazy though, right? Like how? I recently got in like this, this debate or discussion, if you want to say, with a few of my family members, and they were talking about how, I think at least California politics is good because, you know, they're doing something for the climate. We're focused on climate change. Other states aren't focused on climate change. And then begs the question, cool, so what does that exactly mean? Well, I don't mind paying more taxes because at least we're focused on progress when it comes to climate change. What the fuck? What does that even mean? You're happy to pay more because California is focused on climate change? This doesn't even make sense. So I don't even know how the suburban moms or anybody gets behind Gavin Newsom. Like, you just have to be completely, there's two things. Either you somehow benefit from it, meaning you like get money or something, or you're just completely blind and just can't even see it at all. I don't even know. Does the climate even change? Yeah. Got hot hair earlier. It's got cold in the winter. I don't even know. But check this out. I'm going to follow that up with this. You guys know how I like to string these together, right? To kind of drill down a point. Do you guys know who that dude? He goes by like Destiny. And to be completely honest, I've never really watched much of any of his shit. But I've seen him in clips and in debates and stuff. And so kudos for him to like putting himself out there as far as like debating and everything else and not afraid to have the discussion. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he's a complete idiot. So we have him here with Jordan Peterson. I can't tell if my like mic sounds weird or if it's just I always like hate unplugging all of this stuff and then like packing it up and then bringing it, because then when I come back, it's like not quite set up right. I think the ISO on my camera or something is a little off too. I need Will's help. Will, if you're listening, help me. Okay, so we have Destiny and we have Jordan Peterson here in this next clip. And we'll let it rock and roll.
In traffic with our eyes closed, saying the car hasn't hit me yet, so I don't think there's any coming. I think it's pretty undeniable at this point that there is an impact on climate across the planet. I think
that's highly deniable. We have no idea what the impact is from. We don't know where the carbon dioxide is from. We can't measure the warming of the oceans. We have terrible temperature records going back 100 years. Almost all the terrestrial temperature detection sites were first put outside urban areas. And then you have to correct for the movement of the urban areas. And then you introduce an error parameter that's larger than the purported increase in temperature that you're planning to measure. This isn't data. This is guess. And there's something weird underneath it. There's something weird that isn't oriented well towards human beings underneath it. It has this guise of compassion. Oh, we're going to save the poor in the future. It's like, that's what the bloody communists said. And they killed a lot of people doing it. And we're walking down that same road now with this insistence that, you know, we're so compassionate that we care about the poor 100 years from now. And if we have to wipe out several hundred million of them now, well, that's a small price to pay for the future utopia. And we've heard that sort of thing before. And the alternative to that is to stop having global level elites plot out a utopian future or even an anti-dystopian future. And that's exactly what's happening now with organizations like the WEF. And if this wasn't immediately impacting the poor in a devastating manner, I wouldn't care about it that much. But
standing in traffic with our eyes.
Yep. He pretty much just shuts him down completely right there, which I always just thought it's like, it's crazy to think that there's some sort of entity like the government that is actually going to make any progress that isn't self-serving to the government. And the question I always keep like thinking to myself as inflation continues to rise, which by the way, as I've talked about in other shows, inflation is just a form of a tax that you're not voting on and that doesn't have to be passed. Because once the government starts to print money, that's when inflation occurs. And then essentially you bear the cost of that as the American citizen, the taxpayer. And it's crazy to me too, because this, and I used to think this when I was like fucking 10 too, but it's full grown adults that somehow believe that the government has money and that the government is just going to come in and help out. Oh, they could just give me this, or we could give this person $1 million, or we could do that. And it's like, dude, the government doesn't have any money at all. The government has no money. The government can only take the money from you. It could only take the money from your savings, or it could print it and then it could tax it to you in a different way. That is it. Those are the only options. So any of you people that are listening to this that think somehow that your loans or shit are going to be paid off by Daddy Biden. And by the way, as we get closer and closer to this election, you're going to hear more and more stuff about the student loans. And they're going to say, oh, well, they're just going to be forgiven. No, that money was borrowed from the banks from your guys' savings, and there is no forgiving it, because the only way you could do that is if they take the money from the taxpayer already that is working and that is paying, and they use that to pay off your student loan. Maybe the first thing you should have done is paid attention to the fucking degree you were getting after and realizing that it's a complete waste of money. Complete waste of money. It's crazy to me. And you know what, too? I remember this so vividly when I was graduating high school, because everybody else had it all figured out with their fucking higher education and their bullshit degrees. And their parents are sitting there saying, sign on the dotted line, go into debt, because you know what? We want to look like good parents so we could tell our friends that you went to college. And yet now you're coming out and you're working bullshit jobs because the degree you went after had no money, no ROI to do it whatsoever. Crazy, 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 crazy. Okay, and to illustrate this point, this was posted by Emily Kaplan. If you guys aren't following her, I saw this just this morning when I was grabbing my coffee. If I have student loans, I have to use my degree, a waste of time. No, because you're an accountant. That's it. Like, if you go get a student loan out and you become an engineer, or you become an accountant, or you have some sort of hard skill that is going to translate into a job, then by all means, that makes sense. And Augustus, you know this, because you work in accounting. You could look at it and say, okay, I'm borrowing this much. What are the jobs I'm going to get? They make this much. Awesome. How long would it take me to pay that off? And I guarantee you, you went through that process. But if you do that same shit with a religious or a social studies, or even better, social science, which is they changed it. If you guys remember, it used to be social studies because there wasn't such thing as a social science. It was just a study. Right? You guys realize that doesn't come to a job. So Augustus, no, I completely, if you're going into anything where you could look at the money that you're borrowing and you could look at the job that you will get, and you could understand how long it's going to take you to pay back that loan, and it has some sort of hard skill attached to it where you're going to graduate college and you're going to move right into that job and start paying back onto that, then by all means. But you and I both know that majority of the degrees, majority of the money borrowed is in fucking liberal arts and stuff that's not going to get any ROI on the money that they're paying back. And then on top of that, there's that weird thing where it's like, well, if you don't work full time, you don't have to start paying it back. So they just keep kicking the can down the road for forever. And then at that point, everybody's so tied up in debt and stuck into the rat race, forget about being able to actually get out ahead of anything and be able to create any sort of life for yourself. You're starting out in so much debt. Like, how does that even work? Okay. So this is from Emily Kaplan. This just kind of illustrates the points that I was talking about here. I love these two clips. Sorry about the weird zoom. I'm trying to find it in to where it's like nice and tight, but it's not. Can I find a conservative arts degree? No.
Is about how much of your money should be spent by the state and how much you should keep to spend on your family. Let us never forget this fundamental truth. The state has no source of money other than the money people earn themselves. If the state wishes to spend more, it can do so only by borrowing your savings or by taxing you more. And it's no good thinking that someone else will pay. That someone else is you. There is no such thing as public money. There is only taxpayers' money. The prosperity won't come by inventing more and more lavish public expenditure programs. You don't grow richer by ordering another checkbook from the bank. And no nation ever grew more prosperous by taxing its citizens beyond their capacity of our time.
We talk about outsourcing things all the time. People outsource their childcare. A lot of people outsource their thinking. And basically, whenever we decide that, hey, government knows what's best, then we're outsourcing our spending. And we're saying that the government could use that money more usefully than you can as the individual. Crazy. Addie. I'm from Europe. I got my bachelor's degree. Tuition was about $2,500 per year. That's good. Put another zero on the end of that, and that's what most of the four-year colleges run out here. Homegrown CBD, defund the politicians. Absolutely. I mean, and this is the thing, too. Like, how do you guys even see a way out of this mess that doesn't result in something catastrophic? Are you guys like believers too that like if we just get somebody like Trump in office, things will change, or is the system too far gone? I wonder. Okay, this one was just kind of funny.
I spend more time.
Oh, are they here?
Working on these cars than with my own family.
I spend my days digging holes, cutting grass, and sweating.
This is job number two today. So my customers aren't the only ones drinking coffee.
I'm breaking my back out here for one reason.
I want to pay off some other guy's debt.
Biden's plan to pay other people's college loans using my tax dollars is a great idea.
Biden's right. You should take my tax dollars to pay off your debts. My family will figure out how to get by with less. What's most important is we spare college graduates from any extra stress.
Want to be a struggling artist? College is on me.
My kids don't need fancy things like school supplies or new shoes.
I work for you, theater major.
This shift is for you, business major. Go buy yourself that new car.
Enjoy your free ride. College is on me.
Tell Congress, stop.
There it is. That basically sums it up. I work hard not for my family, but to pay off your debts. Holy crap. Holy crap. You know what's funny too is a lot of this stuff, I should have probably had the information, but I'm sure you guys will sort me out in the comments there. I do believe that the income tax was started as a temporary tax in like World War I to help with funding or something like that. And so it was like, oh, well, we're just going to bring in like a personal income tax for a little bit of time just to help with this situation. And then it's going to go back. Doesn't that sound so familiar to stuff that happened in the recent? Government always pushes it a little bit, tells you that they have to due to some sort of emergency because it's for the greater good. And for some reason, it never goes back. It never goes back. Okay, last one here. Close to my hometown, good old Oakland. It's funny because a lot of people would say, oh, the crime situation's overblown. Oh, you know, it's just new. It's just in the news. Like, people are focusing on anecdotal things and then saying everybody's cars are being broken into and blah, 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 blah. Well, listen, you don't even have to take anybody's word for it. All you have to do is pay attention to what's happening. How many things are shutting down? Like, I remember a couple years back, Grace and I would always go to Union Square during San Francisco time. Union Square in San Francisco around the holiday time. We'd go shop in those areas and stuff over there. We haven't been there in years, and now everything is just gone. There's a five-story mall on Market Street and Fifth that is just empty. All those stores around it also empty. And then you have to think about the whole entire ecosystem that massive Nordstrom's, the big Nike stores, the Levi's, all those things bring around it, right? Because everybody's going for those big stores, which then fuels the economy of all these little stores and vendors and everything else around it. Because once people come in to shop at Nordstrom's, they might go check out that store. They're going to need a place to eat. So once those big fish go out of there, then all the small ones die immediately. So it doesn't matter what you think is right or think is wrong, or maybe is overblown or is fake news. All you have to do is look at the stores that are happening around it. Look at business, because at the end of the day, even though all these same stores will push this whole woke narrative and this DEI bullshit, at the end of the day, it's all about them making money. And if they don't make the money, they pull the plug and they get up and leave. And so it's super obvious. Just look at that. R.I.P. Denny's.
Oakland's only Denny's restaurant has closed because of safety concerns. The restaurant on Hagenburger Road near the Oakland airport had been at this location for over 50 years. The company says it was not an easy decision, but the safety of Denny's employees and customers is its top priority. The area of Hagenburger Road is plagued by robberies and car break-ins. Just this week, a 21-year-old visiting from Texas was filling up his rental car at the 76 gas station near the airport when he and his friends were robbed at gunpoint. The In-N-Out Burger nearby is also closing its doors. Starbucks, Black Bear Diner, and others have already left the same area. Oakland's only...
Literally, there's this, if you guys are familiar with the Oakland airport, there's a street that comes down and as you head to the airport, and there's a Starbucks there, that 76 that they're talking about, the guy, right? All of that is inside this same little parking structure, right? And literally, like, we get a lot of interns from the Lawrence Livermore Lab that come in to the gym. And we were talking to them even like a year or so back, and they don't even fly people into Oakland anymore. They fly them into San Jose or they fly them into San Francisco. Because so many people were being either followed or targeted and would pull into that gas station or go grab a coffee on their way out and were getting robbed. Like, that's how crazy it is. They don't even fly people in and out of there anymore from the labs or other places for corporate visits. And so what do you think is going to happen? Like, and then all of a sudden everybody's going to say, oh, well, we need to help these underserved communities. Well, look what the fuck you did because of your lackadaisical policies on crime. All the opportunity for jobs leave, and then this place becomes fucking Detroit. That is what's happening in real time. You're watching it. So now as Oakland slowly just decays into nothing, and San Francisco does as well, people wonder, how did it get this way? How did a thriving city go from just great, prosperous, to all of a sudden no jobs? Now houses are just turning into complete crack houses. There's no way that you could move in or live there. There's no way that you could start a business there. And then that cycle just perpetuates itself. But don't you worry. Old Gavin's got a plan. It's just going to take a little bit more of your money. And also, too, we're going to build that rail system from Fresno to Bakersfield, which is just the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. There's a person at my gym that works for that train, and she basically was just telling me, yeah, nothing happens. We don't do anything, which just tells me it's probably a shell for money. Probably a shell for money. Okay, enough of my California rant here. Let's get into the pyramid of CrossFit. like that segue. Just transition from California politics to, oh, it's funny, I brought up the search in the Instagram here to find my post, and the first thing that was searched was Trish. What happened with Trish? She was gone, now she's back again. Kind of weird, right? A little weird. Dan, I was an intern at Livermore, but there was no cross with Livermore yet at that time. No, now we're like right up the street. Now we're right up the street for the lab. So far, so close, I could feel the radiation. Jonathan, they're called trap houses, these are not crack houses. Thank you. Yes, you are correct. Just not quite that hood. Maybe, I was like more 90s. Crack house is like 90s. Trap houses is more today. Dated myself a little bit there. She came back from hell. Could be. Kind of weird, right? Resurrected. There was no, like, remember the whole RV fell off a cliff and, like, Ron had to tell us, her husband, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she's back. She's back. She's back. She's back. Okay. I know some of you guys have seen this on Instagram already. I'm going to put the live call-in number up here. And I want to get your guys' input on this. I want to make this more or less a discussion. If you call in, if you decide to call in, we're going to keep these calls moving. So if you have a question or a comment, throw it out there. We'll do a little discussion, and then we're going to move it on, because hopefully we get a bunch of people to call in and discuss this here, because I know you guys are all so passionate about this. So here is the way that CrossFit should be prioritizing its initiatives, according to my humble opinion. And, you know, what do I know? So we'll take it for what it is here. But at the base of the pyramid, we have media. I think it's no surprise here in this show right now that you need to have media in order to have your own story, in order to have your own voice, in order to craft and create your own narrative. And in this particular case with CrossFit, we have to have a ton of media in terms of education and exercise science, because there are some really big and powerful institutions and companies that are going to be putting out some information that would go against the CrossFit methodology. So unless you have a really big media machine that's pumping out stuff all the time around the education, around the coaches, around the CrossFit methodology, your message will be lost. And there was a good comment that somebody put in here, and I'm going to kind of go through these because a couple people had some cool things to say here. Jay Delato, education is more important than media. I responded, how could you educate if nobody knows about it? Without media, the message and education go unnoticed. They responded, true. What are you going to message without education? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Both are important. I don't totally disagree with the sentiment that they're saying there, but we already have the CrossFit Journal. We've already had the education for a long period of time. And now where is the CrossFit Journal? You have to go like unbury it. And so that's what I mean by the education. A lot of it's already there, and you need to have the media around the education for people to receive and find the message. If you don't have it, then it ain't going to work, right? It ain't going to work. Jordan Kerr, I sent him a Sousa ADM. Huh? What? You sent Trish a DM? Interesting. Journal and media could be one and the same. Yes, they are one and the same. That is what I'm talking about. Some sort of regularly published education, whether it's in written form, whether it's a form of just audio, whether it's in the form of video, or all of them, that they should be published and talked about all the time. He won the Savage One, Sousa. Jordan, you won it, and you sent me a DM? Was I supposed to do something about that? Hold on. Let's find out here. What exactly are you talking about, my friend? Did you just send me a DM right now? In my request? I don't see it. Are you sure it was me? He sent you a DM for his info to Savage Ones from Dylan Val. I don't know. I don't have any of that. Nope. Are you sure you sent it to the right one? I'm looking right now, Jordan. I'm gonna get this solved. I want to make sure you get your shoes. No, on Sunday. Did you send it to my personal one or did you send it to the Real Savant podcast? Help me out here, Jordan. I don't have a DM for you. You know what? DM me right now. How about that? Catch me outside. How about that? Okay, back on track here. Someone had something. Keith Knapp. Keith, what up, dude? Are media and education separate? Yes, but of course, because you'll have a bunch of different contributors to the education. It won't just come out of CrossFit. There'll be lots of contributors and lots of partners on the education piece of it as well, which is important there. Hey, Judy Lynn, thank you for did my first donation to the show. And now my third donation. Thank you so much. Have you picked a gym for your new series, Gym Rescue? No. Although that would be kind of fun, wouldn't it? I just don't know. Like, who do you call somebody and be like, hey, do you suck at what you're doing? Is your gym falling off a cliff? We could help. Just let us film it and put it online and tell everybody about it. Be sure and ask for a name and where they're from, Susan. I will. Yes. We'll figure out where they're from. Cody Baker. Thank you for becoming a YouTube member. We appreciate it. And there's going to be some cool videos back there soon. That'll be for members only. Two of them, I think. I hope soon they're made. But okay. Keith Knapp, in part, CrossFit can't get right is the creation and distribution of content media because there is no one accountable to it. 100%, dude. 100%. There is like, yeah. They have an execution. CrossFit has an execution problem big time. Big time. So without the media being the base, without us continuously pumping the message, without us continuously highlighting all of the education and everything else that will be coming out of CrossFit, there is no voice, there is no narrative. You guys saw what happened when back in the day when Glassman pulled up off Facebook and Instagram and everything else. It just basically fell silent. So you have to be where the eyeballs are to be relevant. It's just the world we live in. Whether you agree with it or whether you're not, it doesn't matter. We need to be pushing content daily on Instagram, daily on YouTube, daily on TikTok, daily on Twitter. Like everywhere where there is eyeballs, CrossFit should be putting education. CrossFit should be pumping the methodology, not the sport. Okay, then the next line here is education. This is where we should have multiple contributors and multiple partners. And then what also I mean by education is CrossFit should be selling its certs. Back in my day, back in 2012, 2013, I remember you would click the button to sign up for a course and like the first five would all be sold out like within, you know, a 2 or 3 month time period. And you'd have to wait for them to post another batch of certs up there just to secure your spot to get in. They sold out super quick. And not only did they sell out, but there was like 50 or 60 people in each one of these L1 certifications. It was massive. And for some reason, from the outside looking in, it looks like training just fell right off a cliff. Like I went and did my level 2 in December, and I think there was like 15 people in that. I was talking with Caleb when he recently did his level one, when he went with like his dad and his wife and stuff. And he was like, yeah, dude, I could basically signed up the day of, and there was like 13 people in there. That's crazy. So I think that the main product and revenue line also of CrossFit would be their educations, their L1s, their L2s. And I think that there's multiple other certs that could branch out from that. You guys remember when they used to have like the gymnastics specific one, the kettlebell, the weightlifting, the running, like there's all these like branches of education that could come out of the L1. And I think that if you employ the people that are subject matter experts in each one of those, which would be the partner portion of the education, you could have a really, really strong like menu of stuff that people could go and do once they take their L1. So it's like I would have the L1 unlock everything else, and then you're eligible for all the spinoff certs and everything off after that. The next up on the line is going to be highlighting the coaches and the L1 staff. I think that that is going to be the main thing to getting affiliates in the future. You have to first have the base of the media so we can let everybody know about it, make it fun, make it exciting, spread the message. We're continuously evolving and growing the education, continuously adding stuff to the certs, bringing on partners to continue to increase the knowledge base of the methodology and everything else that surrounds it. And then we have our coaches and the L1 staff. If you make really great coaches and we professionalize the trainers, that could be the massive separation between the F45s and the Orange Theories and all of that. Because if you just basically do, and I was devastated. You guys remember when Hiller brought up the F45 site and the likeness between that and CrossFit and basically swapped them out on the screen, and you couldn't even freaking tell the difference that he switched it. It was just like, oh no. And so if we really focused on making our L1 staff like the superheroes of the fitness space and our coaches, really focused on the coaches, it would be a massive separator in terms of professionalization and what we offer as a CrossFit brand and in the methodology, and how much superior it is to everything else that's being offered. Also, too, this brings me to the next thing, which is the garage gyms and the barrier to entry to get into affiliateship is through a coach. And I think the more that we foster coaches being able to start their affiliates almost in their garage and allow that evolution that Greg Glassman talked about, right? So it was like, hey, I went and got my L1. Now I might be training my parents. I might be training my neighbor, whatever the case may be. Next thing you know, they tell a friend. All of a sudden I'm like, crap, I'm running out of room in my garage here. We got to go to a new space. Now I have a brick and mortar business. And if you basically focused on allowing the coaches to continuously be the professionals in the space and kind of organically grow businesses through that pipeline of starting out in the garage, starting out in their park, starting out with some friends, you're going to find the really passionate ones that are just organically growing because they're providing so much value and everything else to those around them that more and more and more people are showing up. It's exactly what Greg Glassman started with was basically one-on-one coaching. And then more people wanted it, and he'd say, hey, guess what? I'm going to bring you. Now you have a friend to work out with. I'm going to slightly reduce your rate because there's two of you guys going at the same hour. Next thing you know, that turns into three people. Next thing you know, that turns into four people. And now you have a class. And so for me, I think that's the biggest path to affiliateship. We need to foster it from the individual because real growth and real change is going to happen from the bottom up, from person to person to person to person. Very little of the time do you like harpoon the top and actually create the change. And so I would want an army of professionalized, educated trainers that are in every garage, that are at every park, and that are on their way to open up badass affiliates. And to me, that's the path to do it. Next, you got affiliateship. This to me is an upsell. This to me is an upsell from the L1s, the certifications, and the courses. You've been a coach. You started in your garage. You started training people. You loved it. Now you want to move on and open your brick and mortar. You got enough people to do it. You got some funding. You're like, hey, I want to do this full time. I'm absolutely passionate about it. Now you go for the upsell. Now you get affiliateship. Now you're able to open the brick and mortar. And I would lower the barrier to entry in terms of cost to affiliateship. I think a little bit of the mistake, which is obviously the private equity company just wanting to wring out as much as they possibly can to the affiliates. Like if you look at the barrier to entry now to affiliateship, it costs a lot. Because you have to go in and you have to pay for the application. You have to get your L1, then you have to get your L2 within a year. And then you have to pay the affiliateship fee, which is quite a bit more expensive than it was at the original $3,000. So I would have that barrier to entry to be a little bit lower. I'm not against the fact that you need an L2 before you would open the gym totally, but I think it has to be done in the right way. I don't think I think a lot of that was basically pushed as a money grab, more so than it was a quality insurance thing, in my opinion. And I could be wrong, but I am a fan of the L2, so I'm not totally against that. But I think that the lesser barrier to entry that you have for the affiliate, but if you really focus on coaches being able to grow organically inside garages, at parks, wherever they have some space, I think that you'll get the most passionate coaches that are ready to take that next step into a brick and mortar and become an affiliate. And so the strongest revenue lines that I would focus on as a business will be all my certifications and all the education piece that we could continue to build. And you could probably get some master classes stuff out of it. And you could even sell some courses online and you could do it remotely and stuff like that as well too. But for me, it's all going to be about that, the L1 certification and really pushing that. And then from affiliateship, I think the last thing on the list, the last priority in terms of CrossFit HQ should be the sport. I think the CrossFit game should just be this festival that happens once a year where, of course, we crown the fittest on earth. We get to see the people at the tip of the spear perform, which is awesome. I think it should just be done with individuals too, by the way, which I know is controversial because we have our adaptive, we have our age group athletes, we have the teams and everything else. And I still think that there's a place for that. And that's what CrossFit kind of did right now, is they like pushed it out and just let it run independently. They just washed their hands of it because they didn't want to fund it anymore, which I get that. And I understand it. There's just simply, it's like, it's kind of like the whole entire thing with the women's MBA, right? Everybody's like, women should be paid more in the women's MBA. They need equal pay, but then nobody fucking watches it. It's the same exact situation that we have with the adaptive, same exact situation that we have with the age group categories in the teens, teams. Not teens. So it just is what it is there. But anyways, I think that if we focus on the sport of it, of course, having the competition, it's sexy, it's fun. We all love to watch. We all love to watch these athletes perform at the highest level, but it needs to be rallied into basically just a fitness festival. We need to have lots of opportunities for education. We need to have lots of opportunities for people to take classes while they're there and be ran by the L1 staff. And I'm so glad that CrossFit has actually been doing some of that, where they have their affiliate spot where you could go and you could take a class by an L1's seminar staff member, as well as they have these talks and these educational things and stuff like that. Like, that's all great. I would continue to do a lot of that. But I would definitely wouldn't build this massive like season that's strung out all the way. And the other thing too, is I think that they need to reframe the whole entire open in this online stuff. The fact that CrossFit wants me as an affiliate to push the open to create more work for myself logistically in the gym, to give them the fucking $20 and see nothing from that money. I mean, criminy, how hard would it be to print me out a bunch of posters and send it to my gym that explained in a cool little typograph thing what the open was, how to sign up, give me a QR code, then send me one that shows my members how to submit their scores, give me options to print them, send me some big ones, send me some small ones. And heaven forbid you give me a percentage of those dollars that you come in from the open, which would then in fact incentivize me to actually fucking push it in my gym. Because right now, all I'm doing is pushing the open. Yay. So we could all be on the same leaderboard to create a bunch of fucking logistical nightmares for me that I have to completely put on and do at my gym with zero incentive to do so. Zero. It's crazy. I don't understand how they haven't already figured that out and changed some shit. I mean, literally just posters that I could hang in my gym that would allow me to have for my members so they could easily see what the open is and explain it and kind of do it. And then also how to submit their scores, the timing of it, a QR code that maybe even brings them to the spot where they could submit them. But no, you want me to be an affiliate manager? You want me to keep track of approving all these scores? You want me to have to worry about the integrity of every score that's being put in? You want me to put on every single workout? You want me to promote it in my fucking gym and I don't even get an incentive, not even a dollar from it? Come on, what are you doing here? Like, that's what you're basically asking is, hey, I got this hot dog stand. Can I push it around in your restaurant? Well, sure, what do I get from it? Oh, you get a mess that you have to clean up every Friday night afterwards. That's what you get. Fuck, are you kidding me? And here's the other thing too. People go, oh, do you have a lot of people that signed up for the open? No, because I don't really push it that much. I mean, I do, like it's up there. We talk about it, of course, because I still want people to participate that want to participate. But no, here's what I got. I push our freaking nutrition reset at the beginning of the year. You know why? Because it makes my gyms tens of thousands of dollars. It tightens my community, gives my people some serious fucking result. And we get to talk about the base of the pyramid, which is nutrition. What they want me to push with the open is they want me to flip that. They want me to spend my time and spend my resources putting it on. And it has nothing to do with the methodology except for the very, very tippy top, which is sport. Interesting, isn't it? So why would I push that when I could push my own internal product and be extremely profitable from it, bring in new members into my gym in a way that makes sense for them, not in a competition sense, but in a sense that we're going to change their lifestyle, we're going to change their diet, we're going to give them a community of people to do it with. And guess what? I make fucking money off that. Oh my Lord. Imagine CrossFit. Imagine if you just followed your own methodology and figured out a way to do it that works with and is for and the affiliate owners benefit from. We're romanticizing about, and even the athletes now say that the open doesn't even matter. You know, it's like, oh, why should I sign up? So you could be on the same leaderboard as Rich Froning. Oh, wait, he didn't even sign up either. Oh, shit. Crazy, man. crazy. Anyhow, sorry, really got on a rant there about that. But I just think that when you have our methodology pyramid, that it should make sense in accordance with CrossFit's priorities. And right now, the whole thing's completely flipped. And then the funny thing, too, is like quarterfinals. So now you made it 25%. Everybody's still got to pay the $50. Now I have to completely rearrange my whole entire gym, the logistics of it, fit a way to have my classes still run because those people pay me fucking money to be there to fit my handful of athletes that are doing quarterfinals. Holy shit. You got me fucked up. Oh, and by the way, too, it's going to be a big secret. The workouts are a big secret. Affiliate owners can never find out about the workouts before time because heaven forbid they had some time to fucking plan it logistically. You kidding me? Oh, my Lanta. DW, dude, the wheels are falling off this topic. You are absolutely correct. I took a hard left turn and just went hard on the open and the sports side of stuff. Because if you really think about it, this is what is being pushed right now. What have we seen in the last 3 years? Right? What are we seeing in the last 3 years? Dan says the guy who left his gym during quarterfinals. Yeah, to bring you a fucking amazing quarterfinal live stream. What do you think? And I got badass people that help run it. I got Albert. It's a fucking savage. I got my wife. She kills it. Gym would be nothing without those two. Okay. With that said, the phone lines are open. Please call in if you guys have any questions or comments on anything that was just talked about here. Or you could test the line or something. I don't know. It was supposed to be forwarded to me. I hope it is. Simone and I always have a little bit of trouble making sure that it is. If you guys have any, okay, it's hooked to the Rodecaster. Somebody gets a free pass and they could just call to make sure the line works on the first one. Somebody gets a free pass. Anyhow, that's just where I'm at right now. If CrossFit really focused on the education piece and made the affiliate upsell and then the things that they did push worked in conjunction with the affiliates, it would be a hell of a lot better. A hell of a lot better. Caller, yeah, welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
In conjunction with...
Caller, hello.
My man.
Oh, how we doing, Susa? I'm good, man. Keith, how are you?
I'm great, brother.
Awesome. Questions, comments? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Where? What's your stance on my... And I know I went crazy with the open thing. And DW made a point. He was like, okay, this is way off. And I'm like, yeah, all right.
No, it's good. I mean, I think you're... I think a lot of the stuff you're saying makes a ton of sense. I have a little bit of a different perspective just in terms of, like, what brought me into the ecosystem as a fan first. Like, I think there's a ton of room for sport throughout media and throughout education. I think if you do education right and you talk about sport in the right way, it actually becomes an anchor point for selling the methodology. Mm. Like if you think about the way that media was done, gosh, all the way back in the 05 through 12, maybe in the era of like, Kalipa getting started and like running through the first Every Second Counts documentary and then like all the way through like Froning coming up, you know, into the mix. Like there's an era there where the athletes that they were covering from a media perspective were actually talking about the methodology.
Yes.
And I think there's still a lot of athletes that talk about the methodology really well and that are affiliate owners and are coaches and like, I don't know, Pedro had this, a reel he put up, I think maybe yesterday of, you know, one of the athletes, talking about like how they keep their gym clean and the OCD and like using the athletes to talk about the methodology and to talk about the affiliates and to talk about training in the way that they do, like creates, I think a
bigger hook for people outside of the ecosystem to get interested. Because at the end of the day, athletes are interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. I think when we had the ability to see that straight line, like you mentioned, like Khalifa, right? Man, I remember watching him compete at the highest level. That was awesome. And then the most important thing was, is I wanted to go get my L1. And I knew that he was highlighted as an L1 staff seminar, right? Like I was going to learn that methodology from those people that I watched on TV that competed at the highest level that were huge proponents of the methodology. Like if somebody were to go up at the time and ask like Khalifa or Rich or some of these guys about the question, like a lot of the times they would like skirt it to talking about the methodology and talking about who CrossFit's really for, right?
Right.
And then I think, and not to pick on Frazier, but I just kind of denoted as like the Frazier era, when then it became about me.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, I don't even want to open a gym. Me. I don't want to be a coach. And so I agree that if it's done correctly, it could be a really powerful tool. But the only problem is once that little flame kind of gets out of control and you can't get it back into the bag, then it becomes more harmful than it does good.
Yeah, it's a forest fire. It burns everything down.
Yep, I completely agree. Yep. But I do agree with your sentiment that there is a way to hook people and then bring them into methodology with the athletes. It just has to be done correctly, and it has to keep the main thing the main thing, right?
Yeah. I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking at a couple of the comments really quick. Krista, how do we know what the methodology is if no one talks about it at our gym? Like that's in some ways like a huge issue with the education, like the missing education piece now. Like CrossFit's not talking about it enough.
Totally.
In order for coaches to be able to talk about it enough. So like if you're going to a CrossFit affiliate and they're not talking about the methodology, you as a member need to get on the shit of the person who's running that affiliate.
Completely agree.
Because if they're not talking about the methodology, they should probably just drop their affiliation and do something else.
And it could be a slow drip, right? Like you could, like if you have somebody who's coming to your gym and within that first week, you haven't had some sort of conversation around nutrition or started to get the conversation around that. If you haven't had some sort of conversation around mechanics, consistency, then intensity, right? Like these things should be just staples that you're having conversations with the new members that are coming in your gym within the first week or two of them being there.
100%. That's my point, Krista, is like if they're not talking about it in your gym, like you need to, that's like in some instances, like members can hold the gym owners accountable and the coaches accountable too. So I would encourage anybody listening to do that. Like if you're going to a CrossFit affiliate and you're not getting a dose of the methodology regularly, like figure it out with them. And Adam, I 100% agree with you. I didn't want to be mean, but like we all know who won that.
Adam Lakesley, Keith, you won that round of around the whiteboard with Pedro B smoking crack. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Awesome, dude. Hey, thank you, Keith. I always appreciate your input, man. Great insights. Thank you, sir.
You guys.
Adios. Yeah, I mean, Keith is right. There can be a way where the athletes and what have you can be the hook for bringing people to CrossFit, bringing people into the methodology, bringing people into the gyms. But man, it's got to be done right. It's got to be done right. And I think too, you have to have this balance of media. And so like, if you were to look at like a program, right? And you look at a week and you're like, squat, 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 squat. You're going to be like, wait a minute. All we're doing is squat here. Like this doesn't make sense. There's no balance, right? That's kind of what I feel like is happening now. The media is just sport, 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 sport. Nicole Christensen coaching a class, sport, sport, sport. And there's that like one little nugget in there, if you guys haven't seen that video already, and you're like, oh, dope, like it's there, we have it. But then it just gets covered with all this other stuff from the sports side of things. Caller, you're live on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Caller. Hello, yep. You're live on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
David, I'm from Tampa, Florida.
Awesome.
My daughter in the background, spending the day with her. But
right on.
I got you got at the top of your pyramid there, the sport.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if CrossFit would be better off if they let go of the sport part.
Mm.
So think of like if instead of it was the CrossFit Games, it's the Nike Fitness Festival. And then you're bringing in Like, obviously, the CrossFit athletes are going to be the best at it.
Right.
But now you don't have the financial obligations. You still get all the media attention around it because your athletes are doing the best at it. It's just something like, if the top of the pyramid is the least important part of it, why not get rid of it?
And by get rid of it, you're just talking about like outsourcing it, licensing the CrossFit name to another entity to run the competition, correct?
Pretty much, because I think CrossFit does a lot of outsourcing, especially in the media part these days, because like the stuff that you guys do, the stuff that, you know, Mayhem does, Proven, like everybody's kind of their own media company now that just kind of does CrossFit.
Right.
And that's essentially free publicity for CrossFit. So I don't know if something like that would work, but I haven't really heard that part of it discussed. And I don't know how much CrossFit would really lose out by losing out on the games.
David, I agree with you there. I do think that there's two important things that come out of the CrossFit games. Number one, that the CrossFit name is attached to it. Number two, that the fittest on earth are crowned there, right? Because that's kind of our claim with the methodology. It's like, if you're really good at CrossFit, you are the fittest on earth. And so
I would say the biggest thing against that is, of course, the CrossFit games is going to crown a person the fittest when they do CrossFit.
Right.
Now, if you take the bias out of, it's no longer the CrossFit games, it's the ultimate fitness challenge, I don't know, insert whatever name you want, and CrossFit athletes just happen to win it, you still get all the benefits of CrossFit being the best training program out there for fitness as a sport. And you don't have to pay for it. It doesn't look like you're biased. Your athletes are still winning everything. Just an idea.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you. I think that if they had something like that and it didn't have the CrossFit name out of it, but there was enough of a prize purse and it attracted CrossFit athletes and they won, fuck, that'd be a huge form of advertisement for the CrossFit methodology, right?
And it's free.
Damn right. Yeah, David, great points,
now you
man.
You don't look like you're the one talking about how good my program is. Like,
yeah,
actually, we just do our program and they just happen to be the best at whatever these people are putting on over here.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And I do think there is something to what you said with like, hey, if sports at the very top, like how much involvement, how much resources should CrossFit the company be putting towards it? And I do think that that's a very interesting point of discussion there.
Yeah. Thank you, Sousa. You're doing good work. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks, David. Appreciate it, man.
See ya.
Have a good day. Bye. You mean the Rogue Invitational, the Sebon podcast? Could be, but that's an invitational, so it has to be open to the top and the fittest athletes, which just are inside the same pool of CrossFit already. I think what David was referring to was what Ian Adams set up here. Yes, the Physical 100. I think that's like a show where they bring in all these different people from different training methodologies, and they have them compete in different tasks just to see who won. Yeah, Jonathan Ortega up here, that's what the Physical 100 just did. And I do think that in order to have the CrossFit Games sport be the CrossFit Games, I do think that you still need to license that name out. But there's awesome people that run events. I mean, you got Dylan, you got Wilson, who runs the Knoxville, the Syndicate Crown. You have Dylan, who runs the West Coast Classic. And like those guys know how to put on events. I mean, just license the name to them or allow them to run it free of any sport like sponsors that are being brought in by CrossFit and stuff, because that team has just been a fucking joke. Like CrossFit, for whatever reason, cannot seem to hold down a partner. Like they remind me of people who are constantly like dating someone, and then there's like this implosion that happens, and they date somebody, and then there's an implosion, and then they go to this next group and there's an implosion, and at some point you're like, wait a minute, maybe the common denominator is, yeah, not everybody else but the person who is constantly surrounded by the implosions. Augustus, Sousa, check your DM for me. Okay, is that for Jordan? I promise we'll get you squared away, dude. We'll get you squared away on whatever it is you want. You guys were awesome with the donations to the like donate and we'll give you this gift card. I mean, that was incredible. And it was so unique and it was so like organic to this crew that something I was really proud to be a part of. And we will get everybody taken care of. We will get it all sorted out. And if for some reason you did some sort of a donation or whatever and you haven't been contacted or you know that you were the one that's picked, like please DM me. I promise we'll get it sorted out. Okay. Kevin M, create teams, franchises out of the training camps, create a documentary series like Hard Knocks and allow gambling. Who's going to pay for that? And why would we? So like the reason why I like to start with the government has no money. It's all of your money, our money, the taxpayer money. And they're just allocating that money for us, spending our money for us. It's very similar, not totally, but similar to what CrossFit is doing, because without the affiliateship, which seems to be their flagship product in terms of revenue, because it seems like the certs are slowly going downhill, then that means that as an affiliate owner, you are taking those resources and you are investing them. And I wouldn't even use the word investing. I would say subsidizing the sport. And so for me, it's like I would rather have my affiliate dollars invested back into education, invested back into media, invested back in the new generation of coaches. That's where I would want my dollars put. And I do not want my dollars put towards the CrossFit Games. I do not want my dollars put to team. Are you kidding me? You're spending fucking money. So for like CrossFit's an individual sport. Just get it through your head. Like the only reason team was cool was because of Rich, and now he's gone. He's not doing it no more. He's fucking bow hunting and stuff. So you know what? Nobody watches teams. It's the same thing. All you guys say that you're going to watch it. I'm going to watch teams. I'm going to watch the age groups. No, you don't. You watch the individual. That's where it's at. I'm sorry. It's just, it is what it is. You know what? It is what it is. Get rid of the HR department. Yeah, I think that it's like HR in this particular case with any company, really, you have to be very, very picky on how you do it. I think legally you have to have an HR department, but shit, like by all means, you have to be very picky about the people that you're putting in there because their job is simply to find problems within your company. Like that's the only way that HR stays relevant is they have to go and seek out and be like, this or this injustice was done and HR is here to solve it. So shit, like you got to be very picky about who's there. Alejandro, in over 10 years, I've seen most L1 coaches just abandon ship. They don't see the value in further education. OPEX comes in and saying CrossFit is dumb. You got to pay me instead. Oh, I don't know if there's much to that. Caller, welcome to the show. You're live on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is it's Huey. I'm calling from Florida.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just want to share an observation I had from watching Taylor versus the World.
Yes.
Weekend. You know, I watch the games. I watch the semis, all the big competitions, and I was wondering why I enjoyed Taylor versus the World so much more than the games. And it's, I think, because of this structure that you guys had where you're seeing either a one-on-one on one screen or all four guys going on one screen where you see all of them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And actually see who's going faster, where someone's making a move. And also it was good because they're all good athletes, first of all, but I think even more importantly, they're all pretty close to each other, as in, you know, it's not a really fit guy versus a regular guy.
Right. Like anybody could have won any event the whole time is basically what you're saying. Like they're so good and they're so close that sure they have their strong points and stuff that they're not as good at. But at any point in time, any one of those four guys could have taken it.
Exactly. Now, even if you had those four guys doing those events in like an open in one heat, the camera would just be on one guy the whole time and nobody knows what's going on.
Mm.
And that's I've watched the games with a lot of people from my gym who really enjoy CrossFit, who really enjoy watching competition. And we all end up, it kind of ends up being like the Super Bowl where we kind of play board games and the games are just on in the background.
Mm.
You know, like,
yeah,
it's interesting because of that. You know, it's just the camera's on one guy. It's on Travis Mayer during the Capitol event with him running by himself. And then a couple commentators yapping in the background. So I was wondering if you had any ideas on how they could kind of bring what you guys did with Taylor versus the World and have that somehow to make it more entertaining to watch something like the games or semis.
Yeah. I mean, they should just hire us to do it, right? I think the biggest thing is that we're coming in and we understand a little bit more about what people want to watch. Also, too, I must admit, we had a massive advantage by just having four athletes. It's a lot easier with four people going at one time or even two going kind of head to head to have that camera that's, you know, allows you to see everything. It becomes a little bit tougher once you have heats of 10 going on. Not impossible, but a little bit tougher. And so, you know, I don't really have the exact answer because I haven't done anything at that size. But for us, I knew that when I was talking with Will and Tyler Watkins from the Heat One app, go sign up now. When I was talking with them, we were like, okay, what's going to be what we determined our game day camera, right? Like the game time camera, which was kind of that wider view. You saw Will put it up at like this bird's eye view for that row snatch and step up. And so we had that camera, and then we had a camera that I had that was on a gimbal that we referred to as the storytelling camera. That was the one that was really up close on people. So you could see the facial expressions. You could see them kind of hurting in the workout. And it was just a toggle back and forth between the game camera and the storytelling camera. And, you know, with the CrossFit Games, I think you could probably take that same kind of theory to a heat of 10 or like a bigger heat of like 20. But you know, I don't really know exactly how that would work out unless I was able to run that race. But I do agree that being able to see every athlete and know where they are is wildly important to keeping you entertained and keeping you kind of glued to the TV.
Yeah, and you guys didn't even have the technology for counting, right? Like,
right.
You guys were always asking, like, how many reps does this guy have? How many reps does that have?
Right.
That guy have? At the games, you actually have that technology where you see that on the screen. I think someone like you or someone who helped you, you guys put together Taylor versus the World, if they could work with the games and actually tell the camera what to show, I think it's a hard thing to do, like you said, with the heat of 10.
Yeah.
But realize who in that heat is kind of battling with each other. Mm-hmm. And then you could at least, those two guys, and maybe find a camera that has those two guys going at the same time.
Yep.
That would be the way to do it, but I think that is difficult. But if anybody could do it, it would be, you know, one of you guys.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And Savon actually put something in here and said the camera guy actually gives a shit in our production. And the next comment he put said everybody in production gives a shit who's in first and who's in second. And that has a lot to do with it, right? Like the production crew that we had and everybody that was involved to make Taylor versus the World possible, like these guys are just straight CrossFit nerds. You know what I mean? Like, so they understand where the camera needs to be. They care about who's in first. They understand that if there's somebody who's just way out in front of first, like you might as well not even give them camera attention. Let's see the race for second. Let's see the race for third. Right. And then when you're talking about the cut athletes, like the ones that are on the bubble each year, like then you want to see the race between them. You want to highlight that story of like, you know, Danielle Brandon has to get second in this for her to move on. Right. You could create that tension and kind of leave the leaders behind a little bit until it got closer to the end. So like, I just think there has to be, number one, there has to be a lot more care, and you have to really understand the field and the athletes that you're looking at. And who's going to go home, who's going to move on, that type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that would help get non-CrossFit or maybe very amateur CrossFit people interested in CrossFit more. Because I've brought non-CrossFit people to watch the games, and they don't seem interested at all because all they see is, you know, a hot chick doing thrusters.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's all that.
Yeah.
But for Taylor versus the World, I was with people that have no association with CrossFit at the time. And they were actually interested in watching that because I'm like, look, here's two guys doing event two. And this is what they got to do. And look, this guy's getting ahead over here. He's doing these rope climbs faster. Maybe he's taking a risk there. They actually were into it. They were understanding what was going on. There was a race and there was tasks to be done. And they were actually, I think, interested.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of it. Yeah, hopefully you guys could somehow convince CrossFit to involve you guys somehow to make it more interesting to watch those events.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, take it easy, man.
All right, brother. Appreciate the call. Bye. The other thing I would like to know about the Taylor versus the World that I thought was the really cool part about it, which kind of highlights the point that Keith made earlier in his call, which was we were inside of a CrossFit affiliate. We were like, Taylor Self is a CrossFit coach, right? Like, we were able to highlight some of that in there as well and showcase it happening inside of a CrossFit affiliate. So then if you're watching that for one of the first times and you're like, where are they? Oh, they're in a CrossFit gym. Oh shit, I could get fit like that, dude. I could look like Dallin Pepper. He looked good, didn't he? Holy shit. All four of those guys did. But when I saw Dallin, I was like, whoa, dude's yoked from the last time I saw him. But when you see them inside of a CrossFit gym like that, performing at that level, and then especially too, everybody who was on production with us that was behind the mic, they know the methodology inside and out. And they are grassroots CrossFit. So when you're able to start to bake that into the commentary, and like you guys have heard Savan say it so many times, like imagine if the CrossFit Games did that. And then when they said, and of course, this would be nothing without the affiliates and without the methodology and all of our coaches out there, boom, hit the button for a commercial. And we have a badass L1 commercial. And you have like a dozen really cool L1 training certification commercials. What you would start to do, and this is getting into branding a little bit, like branding is association. And so if we associated the CrossFit Games very tightly and closely with the affiliates and with the L1, you would have more people going into that due to the fact that the association between the sport and those are so closely tied together. Once the association was lost, once that thread of continuity between affiliate, between coaches, and between CrossFit Game athletes was severed, it completely lost its pull in terms of marketing for the methodology and marketing for coaches and marketing for affiliates. David, what's wrong with Taylor doing thrusters? Absolutely nothing. Nothing is wrong with Taylor doing thrusters. Okay, so I think we've killed that one, huh? Have I made my point of this pyramid pretty clear? I know I went like completely left field when I started talking about the open, but it was just like, man, it's so true. Like, find a way to incentivize your affiliates. Find a way to make it important to me. It's not even important to the athletes competing at the highest level anymore. Like, you got to get it figured out. And if you're going to continue to make the sport the main thing and you're going to see majority of your marketing come from there, then you got to have that thread of continuity. They should be pumping L1 commercials. They should be pumping affiliates and affiliate owners. And every time they show somebody out on the field doing like an awesome thruster or something, they should cut to commercial being like, if you're seeing this for the first time and you're stoked about it, go to your local CrossFit affiliate. Instead, they've invested a ton of resources and money into a website revamp to where you go to like a map to find out where your local affiliate is. And like, newsflash, the only people that are using that map are current CrossFitters, which is funny to me because, I mean, I might use the affiliate map when I go and like travel someplace and want to find an affiliate that I'm dropping into. But here's a little secret. You also use Google for that. Like, you just type in CrossFit. And it uses your location and tells you where your nearest CrossFit gyms are. So it seems kind of like they're doubling over their efforts in terms of investing into the affiliate map, which I would love to just be a fly on the wall in some of these conversations as they're like getting ready to do their next initiative. You know, they're like, what are we going to spend our money on? The website. Let's put together a map that all the CrossFitters could go and they could see where the other CrossFit gyms are. But also, let's not really update that map because then it might look like we have less affiliates than we're claiming to. So if we updated it, they would see that most of those links are dead. That was just my little tidbit there at the end. It's weird how, like, something up with this Rodecaster. It doesn't sound as it normally does in my headphones. All right, moving on. Last subject. In case any of you guys want to call in, we can still talk about that, but Jody Lynn, can we break down the USDA pyramid, nutrition pyramid now? Just flip it upside down and you got it right. My gym doesn't even come up on the affiliate map. Are they affiliated? If they are, that sucks. They should probably send an email out to somebody. Augustus, does Google show you where CrossFit gyms are now? A couple months they weren't showing up. Mine always did. Like, if you typed in CrossFit near me, I didn't have an issue with that, but I don't know if that was like a local thing or what was going on with that. JK Lance's nice headshot photo there. got the Rogue shirt on. They did just release some new digital templates. Haven't seen them yet or the ease of use, but they just dropped it today. Did you see that? I did not. Templates for what? Like marketing thing? The problem is like, I don't think that, and this again is like, I don't think that CrossFit should be supplying that stuff. Like they're trying to really push the fact of like, oh, call and then hung up. Okay. Yeah, they're trying to make this value proposition to affiliates, which is obviously showing that that's what they think is going to be like the main thing that's going to drive their revenue. But I just don't think that they should be doing that. I think that those resources are wasted. I think that most CrossFit gyms that are going to get those templates probably are like me and didn't even know they came out. And if they did, probably won't really like use them. I don't think that that should be CrossFit's focus. So I don't know, just my opinion here. Caller, you're live on the air.
I'm the virtual assistant for Mary Henderson with the Division of Economic Impact Assistance.
Oh, wow.
We are required by the state to inform those on this.
Okay. That's interesting. Prank call. Sorry. Opened up this and I thought somebody else was calling and they are not. Okay. Last piece we're going to talk about here. We're just going to tease this one a little bit. I'm not going to share this whole article with you guys. I just wanted to bring it to your attention because I think it was really cool. This is by Russell Berger. This is on the Broken Science Initiative website. You guys should definitely go there. If you haven't already gone there, go there, make a login, and check out some of these articles. You actually don't even have to log in or like be a part of it to actually read them, but I do think if you signed up, you'd get these newsletters directly into your inbox every single week as they print, and there's some pretty good stuff in here. So Russell Berger wrote Spotting Soda's Sticky Fingerprints. You guys need to definitely go in there and check this whole article out for yourself, but you will like this portion here because it talks about for decades, Coca-Cola and PepsiCo have sponsored groups like the American College of Sports Medicine, the National Strength and Conditioning Association, and the Corey Stinger Institute. Coca-Cola has also contributed to the CDC Foundation. Unsurprisingly, these groups have all produced medical research that purports to show sugar is benign. And in fact, many independent researchers disagree. But the one that aligns with the commercial interests of Big Soda. So essentially, like these institutions here are paying to sort of mitigate sugar's toxicity and its problem in the obesity epidemic here in the U.S., which we all know is just complete bullshit. So if you go down and this talks about the merging fitness with healthcare, and this is what the whole entire NSCA case was originally about, and this is what Greg was pushing back against in terms of litigation, because once exercise became medicine, quote unquote, which sounds really good on the surface, right? Hey, we're tying exercise with health because we know that fitness and health are so closely related to each other, right? If you have fitness, therefore you most likely have really good health. And of course we would want to make sure that they're tied together, but not at the hands of Big Soda, right? And this goes on to talk, at first glance, the merging of fitness training with healthcare seems like it's a good idea. After all, fitness and health are extremely intractably connected. Few understand this relationship as well as the coaches who are trained in Greg Glassman's methodology. Because if you guys take that one, you know the whole health curtain and that whole entire piece of how interconnected that improving your work capacity across broad time and modal domains will in fact give you optimal health. In contrast to the other major players in the fitness industry, CrossFit has advocated a comparatively low carb diet and removal of refined sugar from the diet. CrossFit training combined with carbohydrate restriction and sugar-free diet regularly produces world-class fitness. It's also capable of preventing and reversing chronic disease. While working with CrossFit, we aim to educate trainers on the inherent toxicity of sugar and its role in the development of chronic disease. So in a real sense, CrossFit is healthcare. This is the type of media and education that I'm talking about that should be constantly being pushed by CrossFit. So you have Russell Berger, who, if you guys haven't seen his timeline on the NSCA case, type in CrossFit fighting the good fight. I forget how old the video is. I want to say it's probably from like 2014 or maybe older, 2013. But if you go and watch that, Russell Berger very simply just outlines the whole entire process of where the NSCA started to try to slow CrossFit down and falsify injury reports. So that way it also blocked them from getting any sort of military contracts at the time. Go check that out. It's well worth it. But that's not what Big Soda, that's not what soda funded organizations mean when they use this mark of communication. Consider Exercise's Medicine as a joint venture between the American the American College Sports Medicine and Coca-Cola to annex fitness training into the healthcare system. The goal of Exercise's Medicine scheme is to allegedly reclassify fitness trainers who are currently considered part of a service industry as healthcare workers. On paper, this would allow doctors to prescribe exercise like medicine, hence the name, and fitness trainers would be paid by third-party insurance companies and Medicare. But the reason for the exercise medicine, the Exercise's Medicine scheme is it would allow Coca-Cola and the American College Sports Medicine to function as gatekeepers for the fitness industry. This is why Exercise's Medicine speaks of connecting fitness and healthcare and building a bridge between fitness and healthcare systems. In order to participate in the fitness economy, trainers would need to require and hold an Exercise's Medicine credentials and would have to follow the Exercise's Medicine rules on nutrition recommendations. Okay. So imagine that it's ushered in as like this. Oh my gosh. Like now the fitness industry is going to be tightly close knit with the medical industry. This is great because we all know that fitness and lifestyle choices is going to be optimal for long-term healthcare, and it's going to keep you away from chronic diseases, which we all know are killing all the Americans, that and fentanyl. So it looks good from the outside looking in, like most things that are pushed through government. I had to turn on this light. All of a sudden, it was like so bright. My eyes were like going crazy. And in fact, all it is just more gatekeeping. Once they usher this in, now it becomes regulated by these institutions. Now Big Soda and the American Beverage Association could start to twist and turn the information so then that way it doesn't really conflict with the products that they sell, but it completely continues to poison Americans. And it continues to make us chronically ill. Now, this is what I talk about in terms of why education is so important and why in terms of media is so important, because these are the narratives that are being pushed in mainstream. I mean, you guys, like, I haven't heard about it as much anymore, but you know, the whole entire, like, oh, you love everybody in every shape and size. Like, obese is healthy. It's like, no, it's not. It is not. You wouldn't say that with somebody who, like, you know, has some fucking terrible disease that you could see is eating away at their skin because they shoot like fentanyl and tranquilizers, and so it deteriorates, and you're like, well, you know, you got to love them either way. That's just part of their condition. It's like, no, they're doing something harmful to their body that is dramatically affecting their health, and now we could see the result of their inability to take care of themselves. But yet we just want to claim that as, like, you know, big is beautiful. Okay. And by the way, it's funny because that conflation somehow is going to come down on an individual as negative or harmful to this individual. And we should just applaud them regardless of how they look and what they do. And it's like, no, you don't need to put them down as a human, but you need to understand that the lifestyle they're living and the way they look is extremely unhealthy. And so, in fact, if you really do care about that person, you are going to work hard to make sure that they get their health back on track. You're not just going to applaud them and say, hey, it's okay. You'll be on prescription meds. You won't have that shitty of a life. Crazy. All right, let's see some of these comments. Augustus, if you search CrossFit gyms, they show up. But if you search gyms near me, CrossFit gyms do not show up. Interesting. Ernie, I tried calling, but not sure what went wrong on my end. You call again. It was like from a, were you the WhatsApp one? There was like somebody calling from a WhatsApp. It was weird. You could just use a normal number if you want. Regular charges apply. Dan, I think there's room for CrossFit to collaborate with certification rather than fighting it. Give non-CrossFit coaches the incentive to take the seminars. That's where I think the media and education would come in. If you start to highlight a lot of this corruption and realize that a lot of those other certifications, Dan, are exactly funded by what we're talking about here with Big Soda. It's done very discreetly, but once you start to crack the nut on the NSCA and the NASM stuff and the American College Sports Medicine and all these institutions, all the way up including the CDC, you would realize that there is a lot of funding coming from the American Beverage Association and Coca-Cola and Pepsi. And they got really, really deep pockets. And it is in their best interest, the soda company's best interest, to try to curb that perception of sugar because their products are fucking loaded with it, dude. You know they're loaded with it. So if those companies are in bed with these institutions, why would we give more incentive for trainers to push that way? I think that if we just completely continue to beat the drum of the truth, and that's what I loved about the CrossFit health stuff that Greg did back in the day, because the tagline there was, let's start with the truth. If you just educate what's happening and you start to unwind some of these things that look good at the surface level, but when you dig a little bit deeper, you realize that it's just, it's all about corruption. It's all about protecting their product. Then you realize, wait a minute, if anything's being funded by this, can we actually truly believe anything they're saying? And it's funny, you guys should definitely go on and read the rest of Russell Berger's article here from the Broken Science Initiative, because he talks about the how much they're kind of intertwined with each other. And so it's hard to, like, I mean, how would you separate that, right? And I think that most, like, people who get into the fitness industry, I believe, really do it because they just want to help other people. Like, they're into it. They know the result and the lifestyle that it's giving them, and they want to spread that message, and they want to help, and they want to train people, right? And if you started with that and you realized, hey, all your certifications and everything else that you're pushing here are actually funded by these people that are harming the people that you're trying to help, I think you would get a lot more people that start to push to the L1. And again, if it was just its own educational piece and we didn't see the L1 just as a stepping stone to affiliateship, but just the L1 is its own thing in terms of education and then continuing to build on that education over time, I think we get a lot more personal trainers into it. I mean, I remember my first L1, they straight up asked, like, how many of you guys have never done CrossFit before? And there was a good set of hands that came up and they go, so you guys are personal trainers, where do you work at? And you started to find that a lot of them were personal trainers. They either own their own studios or they worked inside, you know, big box gyms and stuff like that. But they were there simply for the educational piece of it. And I think that's lost. I bet you now it would be a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm just hoping to coach at a gym, or, oh, I want to open a gym one day. And so I think that the more people we have taking the L1 with not necessarily wanting to open a gym or not even really necessarily wanting to coach per se, but just wanting the education, that's when you know you'll have some sort of a tipping point in terms of reaching the masses with the education that CrossFit is putting out. But again, it's all going to stem from the media. It's all going to stem from finding the right partners and everything else to continue to push the message. All right. We made it 90 minutes. Thanks for checking out my stuff, my ideas, my rants. I hope that this gave you guys some food for thought. I was going to leave you with one last clip here. You guys have probably seen this, but I just thought it would be funny to end it with here.
So what do South Korean people think of Americans?
Greasy food and being fat.
Oh my.
I don't think that way.
Yes,
people in Korea think that way. No offense.
Unhealthy food is much cheaper than healthy food.
Or some.
Look at that. She like tries to. Unhealthy food is much cheaper than healthy food. Is it? Is it? Or is it just more convenient? There's a big difference between cheaper and more convenient, because if you guys check, especially out here in California, now that they raise that minimum wage, government enforced raise in minimum wage. Who do you think's paying for that? That's why your Big Mac at McDonald's is now $12. You might as well just go buy some beef patties from the local grocery store and cook that up. Yeah, and that dude is red. Eric Weiss, you're absolutely right. Talk about hypertension. Holy moly.
Some people are just lazy. And it's easier to drive through and get something than to cook.
What do you think?
You're lazy, so you always get your fast food for lunch. No wonder you're piggy.
Are you serious?
What are they? I love how she's like, are you serious? With like a mouthful of like greasy food. As they all sit there, it's like, are you kidding me? And the funny part about it, not like ha-ha funny, but I guess ironic part about it, is that it's a perpetual problem, right? You eat shitty foods, you don't exercise, you don't have motivation, therefore you're lazy, therefore you don't want to cook food, therefore you go through the drive-through, therefore you drink this. Like, it's just a perpetuation. And just like CrossFit is a perpetuation, when you walk in through an affiliate, all of a sudden you start to want to work a little bit harder. You start to set some different goals for yourself. So then therefore you start to say, oh man, I probably shouldn't eat that because I'm not necessarily going to perform the way I want to at my CrossFit class. So then you start eating a little bit better. Then you start feeling a little bit better. And then you start eating a little bit more healthy and you start performing a little bit better and you start getting more energy. And now you're on this upward cycle as opposed to the downward cycle.
It is.
Then he grabs your stomach. That's hilarious.
So what does South Korean people?
Anyhow, I'm sure it was a mouthful of carrots. Yeah, me too. Definitely not like something fried. I'll look up a picture of her now. The bullying worked. Wait, really? Lupe, is that true? Do you know who that is? I mean, it was on a TLC show. And so that would be great if you could do like a follow-up. And she's like, that was it. That changed everything for me. And after that, I ate healthy, which is true. Wait, 100% yes. Oh, shit. Can you DM that to me? We'll do a follow up next week and we'll show that chick. We'll do a little research. 90 Day Fiance is the show. OK. All right. Lupe bringing in the facts here. Closing the loop for us. Boom, boom, boom. All righty, gang. Thank you so much. I think we might be back later. Doing the Dave week in review show. I'll be back on Tuesday, most likely at my normal time at 11. Again, just did a little bit of a switcheroo because I didn't have the fire academies this morning. They're doing some physical testing, so they don't have PT this week. So that allowed me to open up to this time. Thanks again for joining, guys. Thanks again for everybody who called in, who commented. It really makes the show fun getting your guys' input, whether you agree with what I had to say or whether you don't agree. I just love the fact that we get to have the discussion on here, and everybody's opinions matter, and everybody has a voice here on the Sevan Podcast because we are the most inclusive podcast in the world. Christian, Dave gives you guys a little standee. Oh, spoiler alert. I never try to watch him if I'm doing the show with Sevan. Although Tyler Watkins and Hiller killed it last week with Sevan. That was great. I might have lost my seat on that. they might be doing it from now on. That was it was fun having those three guys do the Dave Week in Review. So it may be them this time. And we'll have to find out the little standee that Dave. Hopefully he mentioned me by name. Hopefully he was like, oh my gosh, Matt Souza. Fondle, Tyler and Hiller are a good combo. Yeah, they definitely are. They definitely are. Ernie, have a great day, y'all, and a great show. Souza, I tried and called for Switzerland tomorrow. Oh, is that why you were on the WhatsApp? Okay, cool. All righty, guys. Thank you very much. As always, be good to each other out there. It's the only thing that matters. Peace out. Bye.